Please be seated.
If you'll take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul is in prison in Rome. He's writing a letter to one of the churches, the one at Philippi, the first church or town that he evangelized after he left Asia Minor in Turkey and went over to Europe into Greece. Was the city of Philippi. There he saw a church planted. He's now away from them. He's sending them instructions. We saw about the greatness of Jesus and how he humbled himself to become our Savior. Then we saw the exaltation of Christ as God raised him up and gave him a name which is above every name, and the wonders of Jesus now. Then last week we looked at what God does in changing sinners and how they live and how with their salvation they're to work it out and put it into effectual use and some of the results that come from that. This morning we're going to look at two men, one the Apostle Paul, the other Timothy, a young man that God greatly used, one of the great names of the Bible, and we're going to learn some things about him, things that don't have to be exclusively for him, can be so in your own soul, what God can do to help somebody along this pathway after we're saved for usefulness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, teach us from your word, please. Make it alive and real. Help us to see what you've done in our souls already. Help us to see what more we might need. Help us to understand more of this great salvation and the potentials of it. Help us to understand better how we can be a light in this dark world, this crooked and perverse nation that we live in. Oh, Father, help us to learn what we need today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you should be in Philippians chapter number 2. We're going to begin in verse number 19. The Apostle Paul's writing to the believers, the saints there at Philippi, and said, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you." Several thoughts I want to lay in front of you. The Apostle Paul did not trust himself for what was going to happen in his great missionary work. He trusted Jesus. He had confidence in Jesus, the head of the church, the head of the believer, the Lord and the Savior of the believer, to work things as they needed to be worked out. But neither was he a fatalist and said, everything's going to work out. He recognized he had a part to play, and he'd play the part God gave him to do. So his confidence was in Christ, not in himself, but he also recognized he had something to do in this situation. Now, we have Timotheus mentioned. That's the formal name. We know the man better by his nickname, Timothy. That's the common name. Sometimes people have formal names they're given at birth, legal names, and then they have the name everybody knows them by. Timothy was how we generally know this man. His formal name was Timotheus. And Paul recognizes 10 things about Timothy. So the focus will be not just on Timothy, but what God did in Timothy and the different items that are mentioned in these verses. Then we'll see some more about the Apostle Paul. Paul, of course, was wanting to send Timothy to help some people. That's good of Paul, isn't it? To know somebody can go, to have somebody to send, be willing to send somebody. He couldn't go. He is in prison. But Timothy could go, and he could give directions to them for his going. Now, I just mentioned a few things about Timothy as we get to these 10. First of all, Timothy was a young man. Years later, after he started traveling with Paul, and had been with Paul maybe 15 years or more, Paul wrote to him, "Let no man despise thy youth." He was still a youth after working 15 years with Jesus. I'm not sure what your definition of a youth is. Probably somebody 20 years younger than you are if you're an adult. But if you're young, you hope to hang on to it for a while. But if 30 was still a youth, then he must have started traveling with Paul at 15. He may have started earlier. He's not only saved, but he was recommended by his church to travel with Paul as somebody could be helpful. Don't overlook the young people. God uses young people. He uses them in many ways. For Paul and Silas, in Acts 16, it was wonderful. When they went to Philippi, they had to leave, but they could leave Timothy behind. When they went to Thessalonica, Paul had to leave. They could leave Timothy behind because nobody was watching the young person. They were only gunning for the preachers that were the leaders. And Timothy could stay. He could encourage the new converts. He could instruct them. He could bring a report to the Apostle Paul. He could then go back with instructions on further teaching in the church. And he still was a teenager, probably, at that point. We underestimate what God can do with a saved young person. I've seen young people that God has greatly used. I think of one man who pastored 6 churches when he was 15 years old, and he just rotated from one to the other. I think of another man that by 16 was pastoring a church that grew to several hundred, and at 18 they asked him to come pastor what became the Metropolitan Baptist Tabernacle, averaged 6,000 people for 30 years. It grew that much. You imagine that. They only had 5,000 seats. The other 1,000 had to stand in the aisles to hear the preaching. He started when he was 15, 16. And by 18, he went to the church. It only had maybe 50 people, but it grew rapidly. It was in a city. We underestimate God's use of young people. Paul did not. He calls Timothy, still considered biblically, to be a youth. And the first thing I'd say about Timothy is that Paul said he's going to send him to Philippi. That's a long trip from Rome, Italy, over to Philippi, Greece, from the western side of Italy to the eastern side of Greece, and they didn't have airports in those days, nor airplanes. He had to go it the hard way traveling. But Timothy was not a know-it-all or do-it-all. He was submissive. If this older man wants me to go somewhere to minister, I'm willing to be sent. Some people say, nobody going to tell me where to go. Well, that may be true. You have something to learn. Timothy was willing for Paul to tell him where to go, what to do to get things done. He was not a self-made man. He was not a self-directed man. God would direct him, but Paul was trusting God to so work in Timothy that he could be sent and he'd be willing to go. We have a lot of rebellion painted as a virtue in so-called Christianity today. I'm going to do what I think I ought to do. That's a lot of pride instead of a servant's heart. I'll be sent where God wants me sent if somebody has to tell me where that is. Paul said, Timothy is such a servant, I can send him. Oh, what a blessed thought. He was willing to be sent somewhere else to do something else. That's a pretty good thing, isn't it? When you think about it. God had worked in his heart. He wasn't making his own way. He is letting God set things up for what he wanted done. If Timothy had gone his own way, we wouldn't have known who he was. Because he was willing to be this, he became a somebody. When you treat yourself as nobody, God might be able to make somebody out of you. But if you think you're really somebody, then you'll probably be a nobody as far as God's program. He's going to send Timothy. That's the first thing that I'd point out. He's going to be sent there to Philippi. And Paul said that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. He said, I can send Timothy. He can evaluate your condition. He can report back to me, and I'll be comforted. Some people, when they send somebody, are scared to death what's going to happen. But you don't have to be frightened with Timothy, young though he was. Maybe because he was young, he could be trusted to analyze correctly, bring back a report that bring comfort to Paul. You see, Timothy was not in it for what he became or what he had out of it, but rather, how could he bring comfort to somebody like Paul? I can go where he wants me to go. I can do what he wants me to do. And Timothy cared about others being comforted. Not himself. Be a lot of discomfort to leave the capital city of the empire, Rome, to travel dangerous roads, travel by ships. You might be shipwrecked. You might have pirates come. All kinds of things could occur. Things might be tight financially, but that wasn't what governed his life. He was going to comfort somebody else. My, what a goal to have in sight. How can I help others? How can I be a comfort to others? There are a lot of hurting Christians need some comfort. Do we know how to give them comfort? There are a lot of laborers that need some comfort. One of our missionaries, I call every so often, and he told me when he visited here in Hagerstown, he said, I get calls from a lot of ministers. Mostly they're dumping their woes and their problems on me, want me to help them. But you call to find out what my problems are and how you can help me. Well, that's no great thing. That's just a biblical thing, isn't it? What can I do to bring comfort to the laborer, the missionary, where they are? Paul's in prison. He needs some comfort. Timothy's a likely person to handle that. Now he goes on in verse 20, and we pick up a third trait of Timothy. For I have no man like-minded. He said, he thinks like I think. We think alike. If I send him, I know that when he comes, he's going to look at things like I'd look at them. He'll consider them as I'd consider them. His mind and my mind go together. You could say Paul could start the sentence, Timothy could almost finish it. He'd become like-minded to Timothy. Now, not only do we have a generation, not only young people, but old people, going to decide what they're going to do, where they're going to go, and when, and who's going to be pleased, and primarily it's them. But they don't want anybody thinking they think like other people do. They want to think differently. They think it's a railing accusation to say that somebody thinks just like that preacher thinks. But to God, that was a compliment. And to the church at Philippi, it was a compliment. Timothy was like-minded to Paul. Didn't mean he'd been brainwashed. Just had his mind filled right instead of filled wrong. He wanted to think like Paul. He wanted to understand like Paul. And he'd accomplished it as a young man. Paul the older had a chance to take what he had and put it in a younger head, in a younger body, for service. Like-minded. Paul said, I got a lot of people around, but a lot of them just want to think like they want to think. They don't think like I think. And the only one I have available right now that thinks like I think is Timothy. He said, I have no man like-minded. I have none that think like I think like Timothy thinks. He said, now, here's a fourth thing goes with that like-mindedness. Who will naturally care for your state. He said, you're in a state. You need somebody to help you. Timothy is interested in caring for people where they are, as they are. He can look at somebody and say, this person's in a state of needing comfort. This one's in a state of needing encouragement. This one's in a state about to go into despair. This one's in a state they're about to rebel and go to the world. Timothy could look and know what state they were in and what kind of care to give them. Why, isn't that good? He understood other people. Some people still try to figure themselves out. And they don't know anything about anybody else. They don't know how to evaluate and then assist people in different situations. Now, you have 66 books in your Bible that'll help you know how to rightly evaluate and rightly care for men's souls. How are you coming on that? Do you recognize how to care? And then do you really care to care for their souls? To do what you can to help them? Or just to observe and criticize? There's a big difference between caring for the souls of these people in their condition. Timothy could do that. As a young person, he didn't have to wait till he was old. He could do that as a young man. Care for them in whatever state they happen to be, as a group and individually. But I'd point out a fifth thing about Timothy. It's the word naturally care for your state. Timothy had gotten to know God so well, and God had worked so much in his life, that caring for other people became his nature. He did it naturally. It wasn't put on. It wasn't acted out. It was real. It came from the depths of his being. His nature was to help others. You see, his mind had become like-minded. His nature had been changed to where he cared to help others. And so he set about caring for them in the state they were in. Now this matter naturally is a word that strikes deep to our shallow society. We have people been trained, so-called, for the ministry, so-called, but it's not their nature. That hasn't changed. They're just going about it as a profession, a business, a place of importance, or a living. They've learned how to act like they care, to act like they think alike. But every so often, there's a slip in the acting. I did not understand as much in the past as I do now. But I look back after seeing some when I found out years later it wasn't really their nature to be serving God like that. Their nature was to be sinning, and they followed their nature, did what was natural for them. But here they might have been a minister, a pastor, a missionary. And I remember back, and I think of one I had high hopes for, and he preached for me when I was out of town. When I came back, he told me there was a larger than normal crowd to hear him preach, and I was thankful. Didn't bother me, I was glad. They'd come, I thought, to hear the Word of God. He said, I guess they came to see what the kid could do. And I thought, well, he's just a little young and he doesn't know how to express it properly. But I found out that that's all it was, what the kid could do, but not what the kid was. You understand what I'm talking about unnaturally? Down south they have a phrase they use, and it's come up this way. People surrender to preach. They're called to preach. We're going to see if they have any preach in them. And these terms I rarely refer to. I think I know what they're talking about. But I've been where in the church there'd be 3, 4, 5, 10 preachers so-called, and they weren't preaching anywhere. I preached in meetings when there were more than that. They're all waiting for some pastor to die so they could take over. I remember a pastor in Winchester was into his mid-60s, and he was getting lots of questions when he was going to retire. Finally, he told me, he said, I got tired of it. Said, this one fellow seemed real eager to know when I was going to retire. Said, I don't know, but when I do, I'll tell the deacon committee when they go searching to put your name on the list. Said the fellow didn't bother him after that. But I've told him, I said, if you think you've been called to preach and God's turned you into a preacher, why aren't you out on the street preaching? There are some empty street corners at night that need some preaching. There's some nursing homes need some preaching. There are some communities where you could get a group together and preach to them. All you're looking for is a job. Is it the nature or not? 33 years ago, I resigned pastorate here in Hagerstown and planned to go where there was no gospel, one of two different places I knew of in the country, and get a job and preach, because it was my nature to minister, to evangelize, and to try to teach people and train them. That was my nature. God had made it my nature. Timothy did it naturally. He didn't act it out. We've got Bible schools running the preachers off. They come off an assembly line. They all look about the same. You can about tell what school they've been to as to when they reach in their back pocket and they get their handkerchief and shake it like that and go like this and so on. They come from a certain school. They've been taught these things. You can tell. Then there are others been taught other things. In fact, they even have them video their messages and see whether they held their hand right and moved it right at the right time in the message to make the impact. They take courses in acting. To me, that doesn't sound like naturally caring for men's souls, does it? Do you understand? Some of you remember Brother Edgar Thomas. As a boy, he had broken his arm, and when they fixed it, the arm never grew. The rest of them did, and he'd hold that arm. So he'd go preaching. There were a whole bunch of preachers down south who were going around like that and want anything wrong with their arms. They thought, if I can preach like he can preach, then maybe it'll do something like it does for him. The question's natural or not. If what you are needs to be helped by some faking, then maybe you ought to work on what you are. Timothy had it naturally. God had fixed his nature. And so he naturally cared for them. He wouldn't have to have anybody push him. I remember a pastor down in Virginia Beach. He had to be in the office at the church from 9 to 12 every day if he wasn't out on some sort of a trip one way or another. And I asked him why. He said, because the pastor before me just never was available on the phone, never did do any office work. He just showed up for church. And they got tired and thought that they ought to have him available sometime where they could call him. So they gave the pastor hours he had to fill. Well, that church is rather wise. When they got this man, they wanted somebody to be available, but they really should have been looking for somebody where it was natural to try to be available one way or another to help those he ministered to, because he's going to care for them in their state rather than avoid ministering to the individuals. Oh, I like that word. Naturally. Do you understand what he's saying about Timothy? That's a mouthful, isn't it? Naturally. That's his nature. That comes naturally. That's who he is, what he is, and it'll govern what he'll do. Then he goes on in verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Is in it for what he could get. People get money, they get prestige, but it all focuses on them. But Timothy didn't think of himself. He thought of those he'd minister to and for the things of Jesus Christ and how it applied to them. Where's your focus? On your own things or the things of Jesus Christ? Timothy had that area of his life right. Of course, that would help his thinking, like-minded. That'd help his caring for them in their state. That'd help him being natural because he cared about the things which are Jesus Christ. Do you have any idea what belongs to Jesus? The worship does, doesn't it? And the honor, men shouldn't be seeking their own honor. Seek his. He has a kingdom. There are souls he died for. He paid for them. We ought to be seeking those things which are Jesus Christ. There's advances of the gospel. There's an enemy to be struggled and fought against. There's the evidence of his salvation in people. These are the things of Jesus Christ. That's what we ought to seek instead of seeking our own. We'll tell you, seek what you can get for yourself. Jesus says, seek what you can get from me, and I'll take care of you. Timothy had it right in his motivation. And then we look at verse 22. But ye know the proof of him. He was not an untried quantity. He'd been tested and proved. He'd been put under the pressure. And he came out with the proof that he was genuine. That he was right. That he was useful. I've seen a lot of cases of people that were artificial. But it didn't show up till enough pressure came. Then you found out that what was there was not real, was not natural. Timothy had been to war, and he was not a coward. He'd fought the legions of hell and had not hidden. He'd suffered. He'd been threatened. He'd done without. He'd stayed loyal. The proof was there. The enduring work and consistency of his life. And the people of Philippi knew the proof of him. And then we read that as a son with the father, he wasn't cocky. He wasn't running around at his own beck and call. But he was like a son with his father. Oh, the breakdown of our homes has about destroyed this trait in people. It used to be that sons had a special relationship with their father. And Timothy had a special relationship with Paul. Paul was not his earthly, physical father. He was his spiritual father. But Timothy had him as a father. Timothy's own father was a Greek. He worshipped idols. He was of a pagan religion. But Timothy was a Christian, and he followed Jesus. And thus he's got with Paul, and he was like Paul's son. Seemingly Paul had no real sons of his own. But here was one became a son. If Paul had had some, here was one more that he could treat like a son. He could look to as a son. And then it said, hath served with me. He knew what it was to serve. Not to be a master. I'm Paul's emissary. I've come to straighten you out. I'm going to teach. I hope you respect me for who I'm representing. That wasn't Timothy at all. He was a servant. Paul was a servant. He didn't say, I'm the great apostle Paul. He said, my name's Paul. They say, oh, we've heard about you, brother. You see, he let his character stand. He just went in and served, and Timothy would come say, I'm Timothy. They say, oh, this is Timotheus sent from Paul. He said he's Timothy. He didn't demand high titles. He came as a servant. What a lesson. That's why God could use him. And notice that he'd served with Paul in the gospel. He had a great concern that people know about Jesus and how he died and paid for their sins and how he was buried and how he rose the third day and how that the good news that sins are cared for and that God changes us to be what we ought to be and that he could change each and every person that's willing to repent and trust in Jesus. He cared about that gospel that changed people's lives and had them living holy instead of like the world. So we've seen 10 items about this Timothy. Paul hurries on to say, him therefore I hope to send presently as soon or so soon as I shall see how it'll go with me. Paul said, I'm about to go to trial. I don't know if they'll ban me, if they'll keep me in prison, whether they'll kill me, whether they'll turn me loose. I'm headed to trial. You said, well, he knew he wasn't guilty. You can know a lot of things, but who knows what the judge would decide? I mean, judges sometimes do some curious things. And if you're in a crooked, perverse nation like this church was and Paul was, as he said earlier in the chapter, there's no telling what a crooked judge will do. He said, I'm going up against the most crooked one, the emperor. And his whim is all it takes to make a decision. So I'm going to see soon how it's going to go with me. And I'm wanting Timothy ready to go. and he'll bring you word. He'll let you know. And I'm willing to accept whatever comes because I might have an opportunity to tell Nero about Jesus. I think Paul cared more about the souls of his judges than he did his own freedom. You read the book of Acts. Felix, he cared about Felix's soul. Festus, he cared about his soul. They were governors. King Agrippa, he cared about his soul and the Queen Bernice. He cared about people's souls. And so that could affect it. I remember Brother Ritchie down at the courthouse. They had him in circuit court for preaching on the sidewalk about Jesus and sin. Yeah, our sheriff's department and the city police, they didn't like that. And finally, they made such a case about his preaching actually being heard. Now, in a lower court, they told him, oh, he had freedom of speech to preach. This is Hagerstown. And say whatever he wanted, but he didn't have freedom that other people had to listen. I thought, now you're allowed to speak, but they're not needing to listen. I think I know what the judge was saying, but he found him guilty because he wanted people to hear him. As if you'd speak not wanting people to hear. I guess his home ran different than the one I grew up in. But this is circuit court. And finally the judge asks if he would stand and give an example of how he preached on the sidewalk. I tell you, giving candy to babies doesn't make them happier, and this made Paul Ritchie. He stood up at the stand, and he started out with John 3:16 so the judge could hear it, the prosecuting attorney could hear it, anybody sitting out in the gallery could hear it, and possibly people on the sidewalk outside. And then when he started to explain it, the judge said, I believe that'll be enough. Stopped his preach. I mean, how many of you ever got to quote John 3:16 to a judge? I mean, isn't the judge's soul of great value? Paul said, I don't know how it's going to go, but I think we all know how the Apostle Paul would have done. Paul Ritchie, somewhat an example, said, well, what have you been preaching? He'd say, hold on there. I'll be glad to preach a message to you. I think that's what he would have done. That's what he did in his defense earlier. It's interesting how we value things don't have anything to do with the things of Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm going to see how it goes. Timothy's like-minded. He cares about things of Christ. I care about things of Christ. And that'd be enough to make them shudder in Philippi where they'd ever see him again. Because Nero certainly was not a seeker after Jesus. But in verse 24 it says, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. He said, I've been praying. I've been believing. But I don't know. Maybe God's going to let me go loose and I'll get to come visit you right behind Timothy. But I'm sending him to make sure you get what you need, the visit you need. So we see the heart of Paul, but we see the nature and character of Timothy, to whom two entire books of the New Testament were written, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, instructing him. Paul said, he's real. He's natural. That's his character. That's his concern. And I will instruct him, and I will use him, and I will send him because he is usable for the kingdom of God. Now, how usable are you? What's your nature? What motivates you? What are your desires? What's the nature of your mind, your thought patterns? Do you want to care for the souls of others? Or just get what you can out of life? I mean, if you live, it'd be 120. You only get 120 years of life. And then you'll walk empty into eternity for the thousands and millions of years that follow. Seems sort of foolish to swap 120 years on selfishness with all of its problems, if you ever get that much. against the thousands and millions of eternity. See, there are a lot of people have a saved soul, but they've have a wasted life. Empty. Nobody to take with them. Nobody to welcome them. Nobody to minister to them. Because they ministered to them. Empty. Empty, empty at the end. How sad. Wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish. Timothy wasn't just saved. He'd become a useful servant for Jesus. I hope you have that same desire. Heavenly Father, teach us from your word. Help those that are not yours to seek you until you save them. Help them that are yours to follow you and to become naturally what you can use for your work. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As Brother Harold come with an invitation.